You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
And this is an American Free Press podcast here at AmericanFreePress.net. And joining me on the line is the well-known sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, Joe Arpaio. He's been there 24 years, the longest serving sheriff in that county, one of the largest counties among the largest in the United States. Joe, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you.
Now, we had spoken off the air a little bit, and I got to know you a little bit, and today is December 8th, 2016, just for the record. We spoke yesterday, and you were describing the situation that you had just sought your seventh term. You didn't happen to get reelected this time around, but you had the votes of well over a half million voters. And I think you had said that you're not going away anytime soon, and that you want to stay on the issues that you've brought to the forefront as this sheriff of Maricopa County. And do you plan on going on a speaking circuit and continuing to make known the dangers of open borders, things of that nature?
Yes, if other situations do not come forward, I would envision, giving speeches, which I've been doing. I use the average of speech a day in 24 years. I've been doing that in Maricopa County, but I've had a lot of requests from around the nation, overseas. So I used to go as the sheriff and spend a couple of nights, do my thing, and come back. And now, as I'm leaving the sheriff's office, I expect to continue that program and going out talking to various groups and trying to keep the message going.
With the new sheriff in office, do you think the philosophy and policies you brought forward in almost a quarter century there in Maricopa County, do you expect those policies to continue, or do you see major changes ahead in Maricopa County at the sheriff's office?
I have no idea what the sergeant from the Phoenix Police Department when he ran what his programs were, and I'm not going to comment. I'm not the sheriff anymore. I will stand by very proud of what was accomplished in 24 years under this sheriff. So I will be speaking about what I have done and what I plan on what should happen in the future, especially when you deal with politics and law enforcement.
Now, your law enforcement goes back well before your service in Maricopa County, where you've had the strong support of the people. I believe you started in the Drug Enforcement Administration, and you're a Korean War veteran, if memory serves. And one of the things that you told me that I think is very important is that when you were serving in federal law enforcement, that it was important to serve on both sides of the border to work and really dig into this and to prevent drugs and human trafficking and things like that. You really have to prevent these things on, let's say, the Mexican side of the border before they get to the U.S. border. Isn't that the case?
Yes, that's why I was one of probably two agents under the U.S. Bureau of Narcotics. So, I go way back to 1957. That served in foreign countries. Actually, I went to the hot spot, which is Turkey, in the Middle East, to stop the flow of drugs from that country, going into France and then into the United States, controlled by the mafia. That was the big heroin problem we've had for 35 years. So the concept was, and still should be, that the way of solving the problem, you stop it overseas before it gets to our border. If it doesn't get to our border, we don't have any problems with the drugs, especially entering our country and being used by the young people with this heroin epidemic we have presently. So that has been my concept. I stick with that. And unfortunately, as the sheriff, 30 miles from the border, I didn't have the authority to go across the border In fact, everybody discouraged me from going across the border to meet the president of Mexico because of the danger and hits on me and all that garbage. So I stick with the philosophy. You stop it in a foreign country, and if it does get across the border, you lock them up, throw them in jail, and also crack down on the drug traffic on the street level, because everybody goes after the big guys, and it's the small dope peddlers that are selling drugs to our kids, and they're the ones that seem to get passes all the time.
Very, very interesting. And the current heroin epidemic, you're obviously speaking of a past one that you put the kibosh on. Any idea what countries are involved in the current one, just for the record?
Well, let me tell you which country. And it wasn't like that when I was over foreign countries, except even when I was director in Mexico, we still had some drugs coming from the French through Central America and across our border. But the majority of drugs today, guess what? Come from Mexico. It's not just illegal immigration. So when all these politicians run down to the fence to get their picture taken, they're always talking about illegal immigration. You would think they might throw in, let's stop the drug problem also. How many times has Hillary and President Obama ever visited Mexico? At least they ought to go there to play golf. And that's what you have to do. You put the pressure on the foreign countries. If you don't do the job, you do what President Nixon did when I was over there. You take away their foreign aid.
Very interesting. Very true. It's drugs coming across. It's contraband. It's products, not just people. And so a secure border is not just something where, you know, people who are labeled, you know, right wing or intolerant simply want to keep people out. It's really more about the drugs and the contraband in addition to the illegal entry into the country. And I would imagine that those drugs are coming from deep into South America, and Mexico is just that final inroad into America.
Well, you're right, but don't forget, when we crack down on methamphetamine in this country, who picked up the slack is Mexico. So the methamphetamine comes from Mexico. The heroin comes from Mexico. Now the cocaine and the marijuana, of course, comes from Mexico, but the cocaine and marijuana still one of the source countries, of course, are the South American countries when you're dealing with, Colombia and other countries that do grow the coca plant, and cocaine is made from that. So it's not just Mexico, but most of it is transited through Mexico from those countries also. So you have homegrown drugs from Mexico, which is basically the heroin and methamphetamine and marijuana. And you got some drugs coming in a transit type of situation from South America across the border, again, the Mexican-U.S. border.
One of the things you told me off the air that I think really needs to be stressed is that here, while the U.S. through NATO and with Great Britain, through different coalitions, through its own accord, cooperates with other militaries around the world to go after ISIS and other targets, yet we don't see that same military cooperation very often, if ever, between the U.S. and Mexican armies. And isn't that really where it counts? Shouldn't the defense of our country start at our border, and shouldn't there be more intermilitary cooperation to interdict in this drug trafficking, in the human trafficking, and so on? Isn't that where the military really needs to step up?
Well, I've said that previously. I thought it'd be very controversial, but not many people covered what I said. I said, and by the way, when I speak, I'm speaking from my own experience. I've done it, so I'm not saying things that have not been done. When I was over there, we worked with the Mexican Army, and in fact, I worked very closely with them and the federal police on the streets. We were operational. My point was that at least let's try to get the U.S. Border Patrol across the border, like my agents were across the border doing operation. What's wrong with the Border Patrol? Now, you're going to get people saying, oh, it's too dangerous, so why can't we send the Army, the military across the border bilaterally? I'm not talking about invading the country, working together, giving them more resources, military resources, to stop the drugs from coming into our country, working together. I don't know why that's a big deal when we got military in foreign countries helping those countries fight terrorism and other situations. Why can't we do that here? I know it's controversial, but it can be done. I'm very happy that, of course, Donald Trump is the president, and I'm happy that I supported him from day one. And I know maybe he can make a deal. He did go to Mexico recently. I'm very proud that he got in to meet the Mexican president. So things can be done if you really want to do it. The greatest country in the world, and you're trying to tell me that we can't stop the drug traffic coming in from a bordering country. We can do it if you have the will to do it. And it was done under President Nixon. And I lived under that when he said we're going to stop this international heroin traffic, which was, I tell you, it was involving the Middle East, France, Mexico, and our country. And it was stopped. There was no more heroin. So you can't tell me this country can't accomplish that mission if they really want to do it.
And at least with Donald Trump, it would seem we have a fighting chance to perhaps to return to that kind of basis.
Well, I just see that he appointed a four-star general. I just heard today as Homeland Security Secretary.
And that would be his final call, right? That's his most likely candidate for DHS Secretary.
Well, I believe that he nominated him today.
Yeah, he had went through some others. I know Jeff Sessions looks fairly promising as Attorney General. I believe you said that he's a pretty good candidate, a pretty good nominee. And he's even...
I was in a running, I don't know, I didn't put my name out, but constantly, according to the news media, I was in the running for that job.
Hmm.
But I'm very... happy that the general Kelly has the job, because he has foreign experience and been involved in the drug problem, I believe, when he was in Florida. So at least he knows and believes, I think, I haven't met him personally, that he believes you have to stop what I'm saying in the foreign country. I'm sure that he would have that philosophy. So that's important to have somebody in foreign countries to put the pressure on those governments and get over there and try to stop the drugs and illegal immigration before it gets to our own country here.
Yeah, you were known, of course, for always taking a tough stance in favor of border security. And briefly describe the 287G program. And it lasted, I believe you said, for a two-year period. And I know that the media, the politically correct media, the open borders crowd gave you a lot of flap about that. But what did that consist of, just for the record, for the history
books?
A lot
of flack. That was started 100 days after me, after Holder and the president took office. It's still around in court here. I'm not going to get into all this court that's been going on against me and the timing during my election. But that was a program that I really liked. We did it from 2007 to 2009. Of course, I did it big time. 150 of my deputies were sworn in after 5 weeks of training, immigration, and they were given the authority to arrest those in this country are here illegally, and just like immigration officers do. Of course, that was taken away from me because I think we did too good of a job arresting hundreds of illegal immigrants, and of course it caused me political and other problems, but it was worth it. And I think we ought to reinstate that program, because we do have other federal agencies that go to local and state authorities, whether it's ATF needs help or Customs, you name it. They can't do the job alone, and nobody's complained about locals arresting gun dealers and drug dealers and helping the feds. Why is it such a controversy when we go one step further and help the feds on illegal immigration? So I think we got to do that, get back on the streets, and help the federal immigration, ICE, or what have you, to stop this type of activity that's been going on, specifically when you're dealing about illegal immigration.
But not to get into it much, but the lawsuits are is an aftermath of that. Is that correct? I know it got postponed, some sort of trial date this month, postponed till next April. It's the aftermath of the program you just described. It pertains to that. Is that correct?
Yeah, it just sort of has to do with racial profiling that they accuse my office of doing, and I don't want to get into all the details. We're appealing the civil decision by the judge, and now he pushed it into the criminal, and this is contempt of court, which is a misdemeanor. But we'll see what happens. I'm just so happy that Donald Trump is going to be our next president, and I'm sure there'll be a big change on fighting crime, the war on cops, immigration, drugs, terrorism, and I can go on and on. It sure can't get any worse than it has been under Obama and other high officials.
Yeah, suffice to say on that, we'll see what happens on that legal proceeding between now and next April. And just as a footnote, I believe you thought that George Soros' money may have had a factor, may have been a factor in you not being reelected. I think you said there was some evidence for that, that well-known activist, billionaire activist, might have put money into the program to unseat you.
When you come down, when it's 30 days to go with early voting, and then he pumps in $3 million to get rid of me, and I'm the only sheriff he's ever gone after. He goes after prosecutors. So the main mission was to get rid of this sheriff. And I have my own theory of why, and it has nothing to do with illegal immigration or drugs. Which, you know, he wants to legalize drugs and legalize everything. So I have my own theory. Yeah, he was a factor. The Department of Justice coming down here announcing that they may be charging me with contempt of court happened the day before the early voting, and then they did it again 2 weeks into early voting. So that hit the media, you know, the sheriff can go to jail for 6 months, on and on and on. So I have to get through that one. So it's sad. I spent 31 years in the federal government, and here I am, sheriff for 24, trying to do my job, and everybody's zeroing in on me. But don't forget, I lasted 24 years in the third largest sheriff's office in the country. And I've been very controversial, whether you talk about me putting tents, inmates in the tents in 1993. I can go on and on. So I'm very proud of my office, and I'm very proud that the people of this county, which, by the way, over 4 million people live in this county, have kept rehiring me. And of course, I had just too much going against me this time around. Even though I raised $13 million, I still wasn't able to pull it off. But that's all right. I have other plans anyway.
Very interesting. As we summarize here and wind this up a little, you know, one of the things that's new on my radar here, Sheriff Arpaio, is that down here in Donna, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley, in Hidalgo County, which I'm sure you're familiar with, just very recently they put in a new tent shelter and fenced-in area because the crossings of illegal aliens are taking a spike. They're going up a lot in the Rio Grande Valley as of late. And Kurlikowski, Gil Kurlikowski, I guess he's head of U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. Yeah. He was in Donna just yesterday, December 7th, and it turns out that there they're putting them in there, but then what they were saying was that a lot of them are taken to the McAllen, Texas bus station and sent to places around the country, according to the local news media, quote, with orders to appear in immigration court later, end quote.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I covered that border 4 years too when I was head of DEA in Texas. But it's not surprising. I'll tell you something even worse. We still have ICE in the jail. Since they kicked us out, I did agree to let ICE stay in there and check everybody that's arrested. We have over 8,000 of the jails that I run. Okay, we turned over to Homeland Security about 11,000 that were in jail for various crimes. Guess what? 39% of those people, same people, have come back to the same jails I run. One guy came back 24 times. How's that happening? It has to be one, and they're not all going to the border and coming across. They have to be let out in the streets. And I think when Donald Trump was mentioning, let's go after those type of people first, he's 100% right. Get rid of them first. So I got the facts. I got the statistics that nobody wants to look at. I wrote to the Homeland Security Secretary 3 times about this to get an answer. I never get an answer.
So what we're seeing in Donna is then more of the same, where they're given bus tickets to go someplace in the country, they don't show up for immigration court, and then they become basically a fugitive.
That's right. Yeah. A fugitive, maybe 10 times over. One guy comes back 24 times in the same jail for other crimes.
Yeah,
There's something wrong.
that is totally amazing. And some of them go to this Sacred Heart Catholic shelter you may have heard about in McAllen, where they do, understandable and humane actions for the children and whatnot. And that's all good and well. But it seems like there's a general lack of concern even there for the laws being broken, because ultimately, isn't it true that having open borders is just as dangerous for the illegal aliens as it is for would-be crime victims on the U.S. side of the border?
Of course,
With the
many let's face the facts. Many of them come over here to work. They want to work. Of course, they shouldn't be doing it because it's an illegal venture, but they're still doing it to work. And they're victims of crime too.
Well,
And so it fits all types of backgrounds and nationalities, ethnic, every race. I can go on and on. Crime is crime. And we have to do something about the crime too.
it just seems like the open borders create the very problems, because naturally, with the open borders beckoning, that brings the coyotes, the human coyotes, out of the woodwork. They therefore exploit the human trafficking, the flow of people to the north, and it all feeds upon itself. So open borders alone, it encourages obviously a lot of people to take great risks. I believe a lot of illegal aliens, even innocent ones, are found dead in the countryside. Perhaps on the Mexican side, they never make it over. It's a big danger for everyone. I'm trying to dispel this myth that people that want border security are just haters and we don't care about people on the other side of the border. There's such a mythology built around people that want border security.
You're absolutely correct. And I said years and years ago, I tied the illegal immigration to drug trafficking. And there's no, I'm not a magician or psychic. I use common sense. And but if you look at the seizures of drugs that we make, tons of marijuana, heroin, high percentage of those people are illegal aliens. So many of them are just being recruited by the dope peddlers to use illegal immigrants to smuggle the drugs into our country. So it's a bigger picture than just, illegal immigration, drug trafficking. And there is a connection. I said that a long time ago, and it continues on. So I don't know. 55 years I've been involved in this, but I still. I'm very optimistic. I always have been. And I have to go back to Operation Intercept. When G. Gordon Liddy and I, under Nixon, ran an operation, that whole border, for 2 weeks. We flooded that with law enforcement. We got one marijuana cigarette. And then I was became the director of Mexico City. That wasn't easy, but I got along with the president, attorney general, mutual respect. And that's why I'm very happy that Donald Trump was able to go meet the president of Mexico. I didn't talk to him about it, but I could almost guess what he was saying. Now, everybody's concerned about the wall, the wall, the wall. Okay. Actually, quite frankly, I really don't care who pays for the wall. You know, if they don't pay it, take away some of their foreign aid. But I don't think the money, I think the issue itself to put something up there to stop the drug trafficking, especially, and illegal immigration. Now, if you don't want to do that, then let's get our military over there and get the high equipment and set up a wall, put the military, put humans, make a human wall. And I'll tell you, you'll stop the traffic and you'll save Mexico because they lost about 60,000 people being killed over drug traffic and illegal immigration. So we would be doing Mexico a great favor by helping them stop the crime, drugs, violence, murders, you name it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that after the North American Free Trade Agreement, which many believe hurt the Mexican economy, that aggravated the situation, thereby hurting the Mexican economy more, thereby creating more incentives to come into the U.S. Do you think that was a factor that was passed under Bill Clinton's watch?
Oh, I'm not sure of that. I don't know. If you're talking about the smuggling of goods and smuggling of drugs, blah, 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 they were doing that before this thing was ever passed. But I kind of agree with the next president that I kind of agree with his economic stance. We ought to keep jobs here. I've said that for years, not as a federal agent or official. I'm looking at common sense. I like the people in this country to work, have all the factories. But I also was caught in a catch-22 because I've been saying for years, if we can build up the economy in Mexico, maybe they don't have to come here into our country and find a job. If they can find jobs in Mexico, I think everybody would agree to that too.
Yeah,
I'd like to keep our factories here and get our people here.
Yeah, it makes you wonder about the land use policies, the control of agricultural land, the policies there, what effect NAFTA's had on their economy that creates these incentives in the first place. And Donald Trump has talked about rather steep tariffs from companies that are American domiciled that want to manufacture their goods outside the U.S., let's say in Mexico, that to bring those goods back into the American market, they'd have to have a pretty high tariff. And who knows, maybe some of that tariff money could help pay for the wall and drone security and things like that.
Yeah.
Just throw that out there.
Yeah, but on the law enforcement side of it, we give millions and millions and millions of dollars to Mexico to fight, help them fight crime. Help them. I don't know what they're doing with the money. I mean, sending helicopters over there, and I don't know what they do. When I was there, they had helicopters. You know, I never seen any. And I work with the military, although I've flown some helicopters in Mexico with the Mexican pilots. I had to say a few prayers when I was doing it.
I'll bet, yeah.
Well, that was worse when I worked in Turkey on their helicopters. So, I don't know how many more years I have left, but I'm going to be very active. I still believe, with my experience, that if the country, the U.S., wants to do something under the right president, believe me, it will be done. I've lived it under Nixon. I lived it under Reagan. And I'm sure things were done in those days, especially under President Nixon. So I'm just going by what I've seen, my own experience. I don't know. I'm not reading the book. I was there. So I've seen it. And I know it can be done. And we got to do it now. This is the time. Our country is being destroyed by the drug problem, illegal immigration problem. So we got to do something to evaluate and come up with some good laws or follow the laws we already have. And be humane about it, too. It can be done.
Certainly, there's an accountability thing there, just to tie that loose end with Mexico and the dollars that are going there and the equipment and what is being done with it. And maybe the Trump administration can get an accounting there. That would be helpful.
Well, I'll tell you what's more helpful than the bullets and the tanks. People. You go over there, mutual respect, get behind a closed door, light up a Cuban cigar or whatever they smoke over there, and rationalize, be tough, but be fair, work together, and there's corruption. But I'll tell you one thing. I've worked some pretty big international cases in Mexico. I used to have the attorney general over at my house, feed him some whiskey, and then I used to give him blueberry pie that he liked. But I never had one of my international cases jeopardized by corruption.
Hmm.
And I worked with Noriega when he was in charge of Panama. I had two agents there. He was like a double guy. He was playing both sides of the fence, but still, it's better to have agents there than nobody. So it's more than just, as I said, guns and bullets. It's relationship to get the things done. And so that's why I feel very confident with the right people, we can solve that problem. We have to do something with our next door neighbor to stop this. Carnage is going on.
Very interesting. As I wind this up, I'm just looking through my notes, recalling that you have a press conference planned and that the birth certificate issue with President Barack Obama, the outgoing president, is not necessarily a dead issue. Can you mention that for a minute?
It's not the issue?
It's not a dead issue, that the birth certificate issue is something that you're continuing to explore.
Yeah, I've been working that with my chief investigator, Mike Zullo, for 5 years. I've been criticized, chastised, just trying to do my job. So we have new information. Hope to put it to rest once and for all. And we'll see what the media does. This time around, they usually go after me and my chief investigator. I started this because 300 Tea Party people came to my office and said, "Sheriff, you're the only one left. You're elected." And I'm not stupid. I've been around a long time in Washington, and I know I said I was going to do it. I'm going to take a lot of heat. But I just can't forget it. I got to get it out. Before I leave office, it will be sent out. And we'll have a little press conference and update it. I think the people have to know what the facts are. And that closes another chapter.
And I believe that press conference is December 15th, correct?
Yes.
And you're in office officially through December 31st, and then that draws to a conclusion your service as sheriff, correct?
Did you say concludes my service?
Yeah, December 31st, I think it is.
24 years and 1 minute. Not that I'm counting. But it was an exciting ride. I met a lot of people. To this day, I get people calling, crying around the nation. I get people to this day that still want my endorsement. And I've had all those guys running for president and gal. Last time, they all called me for my endorsement. You do know in the first time Bush ran, I was his honorary chairman for his election. Mitt Romney, the first time. Had four presidential candidates visit my so-called controversial tent when they were running for president. So I've dealt with people running for president, so I'm not a novice in that respect. But I'm very happy, Donald, even though I lost, which is very interesting. I still can't figure this thing out, how I lost. I'm not going to get into voting and all that, but at least Donald Trump won, and that's what's important for our country. I stick with him. I don't care what people say. I was with him from day one. He's a great guy. is going to do good for this country.
Very interesting. Okay, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, thanks for being with me on this American Free Press podcast.
And thanks for having me. You got a great magazine. I read it. Very interesting articles. Anytime you can help me, no, not help me. Anytime I can help you, give me a jingle. You got my number. And keep up the good work on defending our law enforcement.
Okay, you take care and say thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.